Benny Gantz, the opposition leader in the Israeli elections, has officially conceded, which means Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is set to win a fifth term despite both parties winning the same number of seats. Netanyahu's coalition is stronger. This would make Netanyahu the longest-serving prime minister in Israel's history. President Trump has already called to congratulate him. Here Trump is speaking to reporters today.
He's been a great ally, and he's a friend. I'd like to congratulate him. That was a well-thought-out race, I can tell you. But it looks like Bibi has won that race.
Joining us now is Neri Zilber, journalist and adjunct fellow of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's in Tel Aviv. Hi, Neri.
Hi, Jeremy. Good to be with you again.
Well, what is the big takeaway for you of this election, and how are voters feeling today?
Well, I think undoubtedly the big takeaway is that Netanyahu has done it again. After a hard-fought and very nasty campaign in many respects, and a closer campaign than many expected at the outset, Bibi won again. Now, as you mentioned, for a fifth term, 10 years straight in office, and going to be, come this summer, the longest ever serving Israeli prime minister. And voters, it depends what side of the political spectrum you're on. The country is very much divided between right and left. So the right-wing voters are very happy that their guy won again and that things will remain the same more or less going forward. And obviously the left-wing bloc bitterly disappointed, on the verge of inconsolable in many respects.
How much did Netanyahu's victory here have to do with his very cozy relationship with President Trump?
I think it played a big role. Trump was front and center in many of Netanyahu's social media videos, billboards, and even his statements. What the message he was relaying to the Israeli public was that I have a very close personal relationship with the U.S. president. We're personal friends. But not only President Trump, also various other world leaders like Vladimir Putin and the Brazilian president and Modi in India, who in one form or another played a role in this campaign. And that was part of Netanyahu's overall message. Not untrue in many respects, we should say, that Netanyahu is a leader internationally recognized, has sway, and that played in his favor.
Now, Netanyahu faces a pending criminal indictment on bribery and fraud charges by Israel's attorney general. That could come pretty soon. How great of a threat would that be to him?
So that's the key upcoming question. So Netanyahu will be forming the next government. I think that's almost certain. The question is how long this government is able to last for. So he has a hearing in July, and then I think ultimately the Attorney General's decision will come a few months after that. So in theory, the government may only last a few months, and it all depends really on whether Netanyahu can convince his other coalition partners, arguably all of them from the right to the far right, that will be in his new coalition, to stay with him after the hearing, and despite the fact that the Attorney General, in all likelihood, will move forward with charges and ultimately a trial. So that's less about politics per se. It's more about the legal process and how that impacts the politics going forward.
And he's trying to get a law passed in order to make it so that a sitting prime minister doesn't have to deal with an indictment.
Correct. So by law, a sitting prime minister, even if he's indicted, doesn't have to resign. He can stay in office until the entire legal process, up to including appeals to the Supreme Court, are exhausted. Now, that's never quite been put to the test because no sitting prime minister has ever been indicted. Previous ones who have faced legal troubles have had the good sense to step down. But Netanyahu very clearly wants to keep fighting, and so he's going to try to pass this law, as you mentioned, to shield him from prosecution, even retroactively, which very much wouldn't be constitutional. So he would also arguably have to pass another law bypassing decisions of the Supreme Court. All very tricky legally and politically, but he's going to go for it and try to convince his new coalition partners that he's the man to stay in power. And he might offer them something that they can't refuse, which would possibly be annexation of the West Bank. And that itself would have real repercussions on the ground here, I believe.
Meanwhile, Neri, we remember that President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, was tasked with, among other things, bringing peace to the Middle East between the Israelis and the Palestinians. That hasn't happened yet. But do you think that there's going to be any push on that now that Netanyahu has secured a fifth term, it looks like?
Well, we don't quite know. The speculation, at least until recently, was that they were going to put forward this plan after the Israeli election, even as soon as a week or two afterwards. Now we're hearing that it might be early summer. But there are two competing interests here. There's the Trump peace plan, whatever it has in it, we don't quite know. On the one hand, if it's genuine in its intent to move forward on some kind of peace process, that's one thing. But then you have the Netanyahu's legal troubles that we mentioned, which are kind of moving Netanyahu and his future government into something like annexation, which would be very, I think, counterproductive to any form of peace, any idea of a two-state solution. So you have these two competing interests, and I think when it comes down to it, Netanyahu will likely choose his own personal and legal survival over any strange attempt to move forward in this current environment with any kind of peace process.
That is Neri Zilber, a journalist and adjunct fellow at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, joining us from Tel Aviv. Neri, thank you.
My pleasure, Jeremy.